Taiwan. And then today I want to introduce our recent study for the SMA polarimetry. This work is conducted as a collaboration with a bunch of people, and the person with the person highlighted with the blue color is in this audience. So as we discussed from yesterday, in order to towards a black hole shadow image, so the structure of the black hole shadow can be different, very much different depending on the emission property. And so the emission property is very much proper understanding of the emission property, that the jet or accretion flow is a very much crucial to subtract the physics parameters from the black hole shadow imaging. So in this talk, I would like to stress on the accretion flow onto the M87. So this is normalized CD for the different category of the luminosity normalized with the Eddington. So the one important thing is that this yellow colored one, this is the SED for the low luminosity AGN. Then low luminosity AGN do not have the big blue bump, which should be correspond to the standard. So usually low luminosity AGN are thought to be have a different type of accretion flow. That is a layer. And M87 is also categorized this low luminosity AGN. So we think the M87 should have the Lyap type accretion flow. And the Lyap type accretion flow can be categorized, three categories. That is ADA, ADIOS, and CEDA. So depending on the property of the mass accretion, for ADA case, the mass is accreted very smoothly, but for ADIOS case and CEDA case, the mass is not smoothly accreted due to the outflow or the convection. So depending on those properties, the mass accretion flow is expected to have the radial profile. That is that AFK, the mass accretion flow that is a constant from the boundary area to the innermost region. But for ADIOS case and CDAF case, it is expected that the mass accretion should be substantially decreased towards the innermost region. So if we can measure those properties, we can distinguish the type of the accretion flow, essentially. And understanding of mass accretion flow is very much important in the context to consider about energy balance between the mass accretion and jet, kinematic power of the jet, or the radiation powers. So one of the very succeeded method to measure the mass accretion rate is using the SED plot. This is a case for the Sagittarius star, and then they provide the mass accretion rate of the, like 4 × 10⁸ solar mass per year or something like that. But usually SED can be contaminated or dominated by the jet, even for the low luminosity AGN case. So we need have a more different method attempt to derive the mass accretion rate. That is the one of the method is the millimeter or submillimeter polarimetry, which has been developed mainly for the our galactic center, the Sagittarius star. So this is a schematic picture of the observation. So observer is here, then there is a black hole, and this is a Lyap type accretion flow. The innermost region of the Lyap type accretion flow, the temperature is too high, so then we expect some emission, and this emission somehow polarized. And if we polarize emission passing through the outer part of the accretion flow, this is a magnetized plasma, so that polarized emission should be affected by the Faraday rotation. So by helping of the modeling, then Dan Maloney formulated the connection between the rotation measure, which is observable, and mass acquisition rate. So depending on the parameter data that is that describe the radial profile of the density and temperature, then we can the estimate the m dot through the rotation measure. So then this was tested with SMA, and they derived it. They succeed to derive the rotation measure, and they adapting this number, then derive the very low accretion rate. So then how about the other case? The as I mentioned, M87 is a low-luminosity AGN, so which should have the lifetime accretion, and as is already mentioned, the M87 is a primary target for the UHC and GFT project, and mass is large, and they have the relativistic picture. And based on the X-ray observation, Chandra observation, the density and temperature in the bonded, within the bonded area was measured, so that the bonded power and the mass bonded rate has already measured. So that our aim is that to adapt the rotation measure technique to the M87. So the main difference between the Sagittarius star and M87 is that the innermost emitting region, emission, can be different. Because for the Sagittarius star case, it could be the disk, or it could be the jet. But the M87 case, differently, we have the very light jet. So we are measuring the rotation measure towards the jet. So we conducted SMA observation from the 2013 January to the May in this year. So it's around 1.5 months. So we conduct four epoch of the observation, and only first epoch of observation was published as a paper. But now today I will show you all four epoch results. So this is a Stokes image with SMA with arcsecond resolution. So this is a Stokes eye. So the core is depicted all together with the bright jet emission. And in Stokes Q and Stokes U, we clearly detected the core emission. Also, we also see the emission from the jet. So this is the first detection for the polarized flux at 230 GHz from the core. So then because we made a, we want to make a polarized rotation measure observation, so we deal the four different bands as an independent frequency, and this is the lambda square versus EBPA. So the slope essentially shows the rotation measure. So the first is DS1, then after one year, then we have made second epoch, third epoch, fourth epoch. So we somehow the constraint on the rotation measure, and we made the weighted mean. We derived the weighted mean of the rotation measure, assuming no time variation, and then derived the 1.8 plus minus 0.3. And 10 to the 5th region per square meter. So this is a first detection of the rotation measure. So by adapting this number to the formula the Dan Maloney developed, and then we derive the mass accretion rate. And it's around 4 times 10 to the minus 4 solar mass per year. In the unit of the bonded rate, it's 3 times 10 to the minus star. So it's somehow complicated because we have to define the position of the innermost radius of the accretion flow, but we assume 21. It's very complicated, so today I do not touch this part. So this is a summarize graph. This is a one stress area to the bonded area, and this is a the mass accretion rate normalized by the bonded rate. So the as I mentioned, ADAP expects the constant accretion flow, accretion rate from the bonded area to the innermost region, and between ADIOS and CDAP expect the substantial decrease of the mass accretion rate. Our measurement is coming to here, then this green shows the result of the numerical MHD simulation, 3D MHD simulations, and this is a result, expected result with a two-dimensional hydro simulation. So our measurement is very much so first of all, we detect a substantial decrease of the mass accretion rate, and this is in good agreement with the prediction by the hydrodynamic simulation. So then if we know the mass accretion rate, so then we can consider that accretion power is at 2 times 10 to the 43 L per second. So if this table shows the kinematic luminosity, it mainly expected from the derived by the PWR, so kinematic luminosity of the jet. So if we compare this number with this number, so even if 10% of the accretion flow is released as the kinematic energy of the jet, the jet power cannot be achieved this 10 to 43 to 10 to 44. So the accreting power which we measured may be not enough to support the jet power which estimated with the TDV work. So it means jet will be supported by the black hole steam. So then was the future submetal rotation measure observation. So for future submetal behavior observation, for SMA, we observe the core as a one region. But as we know, we have the jet have the extended structure. So this three view graph show the expected profile of the rotation measure depending on the changing the parameters, like changing type of the disk. So if we can resolve the rotation measure distribution along the jet, then we can discriminate those parameters. So that will be the nice thing we want to do in future submetal rotation measure observation. And but it's challenging, and so maybe the joint analysis of the polarimetric imaging with EHT or GLT and the spectral polarimetry with the ARM and SMA would be very much useful. The polarimetric image will be the separate component in the spatial domain, and the spectral polarimetry will separate a component in the frequency domain, so that we can conduct a joint analysis, then make derive the profile. And then we also got the ARMA proposal approved, and we have the approved proposal at the 230 and 340 gigahertz observation at SMA. So that's the thing I want to mention. So then this is a summary. Then we conduct the SMA polarimetry and derive the rotation measure. But then the rotation measure is determined, and it give a constraint on the mass accretion flow like a 3 times 10 to the minus 4 solar mass per year. And this accretion rate is substantially decreased, and it's in good agreement with the simulation. The accretion power may not be enough to support the kinetic power jet, and ARMA data will come, and the future millimeter VDBI polarimetry is crucial. So this is the final slide, and this is the advertisement. And we have the Now, open position, the EACOA fellowship and AGI postdoc position. The due date is those two. And if you're interested, please visit our institute webpage and click job opening, or please contact us. Thank you very much.
So there's an enormous amount of time for questions, if you have any questions. Yes, please.
Can you rule out that the rotation measure is coming from significantly further out from the nucleus? Because we know that on kiloparsec scales, the rotation measures go up to nearly 10 to the 4 radians per square meter.
Yeah.
So what's your argument there? Is it that the rotation measure is time variable? Is that the key?
So the observed rotation measure is very much large compared to the, as you mentioned, to the, compared to the VLS scale rotation measures. So then maybe it should be very much located very close to the center. So then the time variation is actually, we think it's a key, but unfortunately, we do not have the enough labor arm. So then we cannot determine the precise measurement. But in future, with ALMA, it should be very easy. So we expect to work on this.
Just a quick comment that one of the outcomes of the 2013 EHT experiment is that in KARMA data, we noticed that 3C84 had a rotation measure of about 7 times 10 to the 5th radians per meter squared.
7 times 10 to the 5th.
And we went back and confirmed that with KARMA data and SMA data also. And if you... So that would be very inconsistent with a any sort of RIAF model onto 3C84, which is a much more luminous source. We don't really know where the rotation measure is coming from, and one possibility is it's the sheath of the jet much further out, or else the accretion onto 3C84 is sort of thought to be disk-like on the inner regions, and maybe that's the explanation. So I think that submillimeter, millimeter polarimetry and rotation measures have a lot to offer for the future here. And so as we do more work in this area, we may learn a lot more, maybe a handle on the accretion.
Thank you.
I don't see anywhere in your expression up there the scale length for magnetic field reversals. And that must be a huge uncertainty.
Yeah. That's true, yes. I totally agree with that. In this particular case, we assume the radial profile from the bond radius to the center. So, but obviously it's not good. So then we need to have the much better modeling, but this is the next step.
My question goes just in the opposite direction as Robert's question. So how can you rule out, or how do you rule out that the bulk of the Faraday rotation that you see is not caused by internal Faraday rotation in the jet or in the immediate neighborhood of the jet?
So if it happens in the internal rotation, Faraday rotation, it should be very much clear if you go to the lower frequency. So then the dependency, we do not have the linear dependency. So, but unfortunately, we do not, the observing range is not good enough to discuss about these kind of things. But in future, ALMA observations, 9.13 will address this part, I think.
Okay, thank you. But wouldn't the time evolution that you see point towards a smaller region of the bulk of the Faraday screen?
Yeah, so time variation should be very much stronger arguments, but we have not developed the scheme yet.
Thank you.
Just begin. Thank you.